Welcome, welcome, everyone. Just need one moment and we'll get started. Okay. All right. So good to see everyone. I hope you're doing well. We are in our third session today for our visioning and strategizing module. We started off with a training on visioning. And you also got some supplemental demos for visioning. And then we had a second live training in this module looking at the energetics of new things. And today we're going to move on to strategizing. But before we do, a couple of things. So first of all, I'd love to hear from you. This is kind of a little bit of an open question. So Two questions in one, whatever you want to answer. One is, what has been resonating for you around visioning, or what's a celebration, either personal for you around visioning, or if you've been working it with your clients? So anything that you want to share around visioning. Or we haven't done in a while just a check-in celebration on what is it that you want to celebrate since we started around your client work, around your energetics in your client work. Anything that you want to share that has been going really well, or ways that you've been applying what we've been learning that are noteworthy. So I'd love to hear a couple shares. What's moving through you? What do you want to celebrate? Marla.
Hi. I don't know why my video won't start. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah. And then after you share, sometimes if you restart, the video will come back on or not.
Okay. Well, I actually have, it's like a combination question share. So we did visioning with my coaching buddy. She coached me. And something came up that just kind of reminds me. So the bottom line, the question is this, and I can use myself in this example if you want to go more, but it's not necessary. What do you do with somebody who can't go to a positive vision? So in other words, when someone tries to vision, just goes to, instead of what I want to have, it goes straight to what I don't have. And, you know, same thing, and it, For me, I see the, and I've been like sitting with it. So I also see the same thing happening with, you know, gratitude. I mean, it's not that I can, and again, I'm kind of going back and forth, but it's not that I can't ever vision positively or that I never feel gratitude. I certainly do, but I can't do it on demand. Yeah. And when I go negative.
Yeah, it's such a great question. I'm so glad you're bringing it up. So, first of all, when it happens, as the practitioner, probably you all know what I'm going to say. The first thing is energetics, right? Don't freak out. Don't feel like, oh my gosh, I've done something wrong, or there's something wrong with my client. This process is not working. I'm not whole and complete. They're not whole and complete, right? You want to really be aware of your energetics. And remember that you are whole and complete, your client is whole and complete, and that anything that comes up in a session, you know, resistance or not, is great information to work with, right? So that's always the first thing, because if we start to go down the, oh my gosh, this isn't working, what's wrong, all of that, we're not going to get anywhere with that. From there, from that aligned energetics with love, compassion, respect, all of it, if there is a resistance, we'll talk, since we're talking about visioning, let's talk about visioning, but it can be to gratitude, you know, to any of the things. If there's resistance, lean in. Lean into it. Explore it. See what it's about. And so we're going to learn how to do all of this when we get to, you can do it through befriending a fear, right? There might be a fear of a positive vision. Maybe the fear is, I'm never going to get what I want, so why should I vision it anyway? Or maybe there's a fear of, you know, visioning is bad luck, or, you know, maybe that's a cultural thing, or, you know, who knows, or I'll get in trouble for visioning or whatever it is, right? So it might be a fear. It might be a limiting belief. We're going to look at rewiring thought patterns. It might be a resistance archetype coming up, right? So the idea isn't like, oh my gosh, how are we just going to make this thing go away, this block go away, or can we ignore it, or how can I get around the block? Most of the time, it's like, nope, the only way is to lean into the block, to honor it, to understand that it probably holds a lot of wisdom and information. And we'll see as we get to the second part of the program, there's probably a protection and survival mechanism in that block. Right. Well, we'll look much more at that. I'm just really simplifying right now. And so for example, with visioning, I would say, I'm so glad that this is coming up. Right. So that's the first lean in, not like, oh my gosh, sorry. Like I'm glad this is coming up, and thank you for not just faking it, but letting me know, would it be okay if we looked a little bit more at why it's hard for you to vision, or why it's a not so positive vision going on, right? And then you would use different questioning skills, somatic skills to kind of look and peek under the cover. Once we loosen up a fear or a resistance or a limiting belief, then it's easier to then go back into the visioning. It might happen that session. It might happen another session. Now, every now and again, as we discussed, it's not going to be the right moment for visioning, or you mentioned gratitude. It's not going to be the right moment for gratitude, right? And that might come up as we explore the block too. And then that's okay, right? It's, we don't want to be attached to this person must have a whatever positive vision means, or this person must be in gratitude. The only outcome that I am ever attached to is, let this be for the highest good of the client, for their learning, for their evolution, for their understanding themselves more deeply, for them being able to have more love and compassion for themselves more deeply, because I know that that will eventually lead them to their goal that they want to reach. How does all of that land for you, Marla?
That sounds good. I'd like to know more. And, you know, on a personal note, I mean, I have, you know, this is an ongoing thing. I haven't been able to visioning or, you know, anything like that at all. And so,
is it just like the big long-term vision, or even for a shorter term, like a week out?
I know what I want. But some of the things that I want, so I'll just use the example. So the answer is, I don't think so. I think so. For instance, I'm a potter, and I really, God, I'm going to get emotionally just talking about it. I'm a professional level potter, and I just love it. That's how much I've done it, not how much I've become. You need to do a lot to become. And, you know, I've had my own studio twice, and I've worked with guilds. I haven't been able to do, for a variety of reasons, pottery for a while. And that was one of the things that I want to get back to, but I miss it so much.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds well, I'm sure it doesn't, in a way it sounds a little crazy. It's like just, but I just, it's so important to me that if I think about it, and it's not that I don't believe I can't get back to it. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. I'm not even attached to it, but I just go straight to the grief of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of an extreme example, but mm-hmm. That was a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad. So first of all, I just want to say, I can hear your deep love for it. And I just really want to honor that and all of your experience and all that you've put in to be a master potter is just incredible. And I didn't know that about you. So I really first want to honor that. And I'm so glad that you're sharing, because again, we go back to, you know, we always want to coach the what based on the who. Of course, we don't have time for to go in fully into coaching this right now, but just from the little that you shared, you know, one place, if I were the practitioner, where I would want to look is there some more grieving, intentional grieving that might want to happen first before moving forward with it? You know, as a student of the seasons, and we talk about that this a little bit here, and this actually dovetails a little bit into what we were looking at last week with the energetics of new things. If we haven't gone through a winter, you know, visioning is so much about the spring. If we haven't gone through a winter, we can't just skip over to the spring. And sometimes part of winter is grieving what was or what didn't happen or what couldn't be or what couldn't be yet. And really giving space, like conscious, intentional space for the honoring of the loss before we can move into the seeing what's next with it. So as an example, that's one place where it might be worthwhile to spend some time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for bringing that forward.
Okay, I'm going to see if I can go out, come back in and get some video for you.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have time for one more share. I'd love to hear what's been moving through you around visioning, or another question, or a celebration around your coaching and your work and how you've been applying, going deeper in your work. Maria.
I raised my hand because it's right into what you just said about the grieving the loss. That's my big thing about the vision. I have a celebration. I hired a virtual assistant. She started yesterday. Awesome. Took a lot of work, and it's still a lot of work, but it feels like possible. But I was just like jumping into this next thing, and it felt so big and burdensome. And so I had to go through this process, but then last session was so important to grieve the loss. I was just like, okay, it didn't work out. Pivot. Just do this now. And now, and so I just have had some real time of just really letting go of what I thought and seeing how it's going to restructure and rewire and reform. And so that's so important. And so especially when you wonder, why am I doing it? What? Because you have your big why, but when it's filled with failure in front of it, it's hard. You got to, you know, so just honoring. So I'm just going to say that, yeah, celebrating that piece is critical. It's essential. You can't go on without it. Or I wasn't able. I was trying to, but it was just turning into a burden and a dread instead of something that I'm inspired about.
Yeah, it's such a great share right on the heels of what Marla was sharing. And I'm so glad you were able to give yourself that experience of honoring the loss and how it didn't go well and the grieving of it. And it's such a great example of how sometimes that's really needed before we can come back to the vision again and move forward. So well done. Thank you. Okay, I promised my team I would do this. We're gonna, I want to try for a couple of sessions to take attendance. It's okay if you're listening to the recording and you weren't here live, you're not in trouble. There's no demerits, nothing like that. But if you are here right now live, if you could just put in the chat here, or present, I don't know how we used to do it in school, present, that would be really, really helpful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I really appreciate it. Yeah, please let us know. That's the easiest way for me to take a look afterwards. Okay. So let's start our strategizing exploration off with a quote. I don't know who originally said this quote. It's kind of an old proverb. A vision without a plan is just a dream. A plan without a vision is just drudgery. But a vision with a plan can change the world. I just love that. All right, so a plan. Yeah, will I say it again? Yes. A vision, and I'll put it in the chat. A vision without a plan is just a dream. A plan without a vision is just drudgery. But a vision with a plan can change the world. Let me pop that into the chat. Okay. So we'll use that as inspiration. And let me ask you, and you can maybe jot some notes on this first, and then I'd love for you to share in the chat. What is a strategy? Like, what does that mean to you? And why is strategy important? What is strategy or a strategy? And why is it important? In general, and in our work with clients. So what is a strategy and why is it important in our client work? And then please share in the chat. Let's see what some of the definitions are and why, and reasons why it's important. I'll tell you ahead of time, all your definitions are correct and all of your reasons are correct. So Susan says, strategy to me is figuring out the best way to go to accomplish something, taking into account strengths, weaknesses, likes, and dislikes. I love that definition, Susan, particularly because it's so much about coaching the what based on the who, right? A strategy is not a one size fits all. In order to, any goal, whatever goal we're going to pick, build your business. There's not a one size fits all. You want to take the vision, the particular vision into account, and then the strengths, the weaknesses, the likes, the dislikes. Victoria says a strategy is the actual steps to take to reach a goal. and to maintain focus. I love that too, because a strategy does have steps most of the time. Every now and again, it might not, but yes, most of the time it has steps. And I love this piece about maintaining focus. It helps us focus on the ultimate goal, the ultimate vision, and each step of the way. Susan H. says a strategy is a well-considered plan that takes into account potential pitfalls or potential opportunities. Yes, absolutely. We want to look at the pitfalls, the potential pitfalls, and the potential opportunities. Both are important when we craft a strategy. Kristen says strategy is a plan to get from A to B in a helpful way. It's important in client work because clients have goals that they want to accomplish or intentions that they want to set, and we need a way to get there. Absolutely. Yes, a plan and contingencies. I love that, putting contingencies into the strategy and the plan, and accountability. Exactly. The accountability part too, and we'll do a full session on accountability, but you know, for now, the reason why another one, what Kristen is saying, like in one of the many reasons why a strategy is important in our work with clients is that it's a shared agreement, right? On what the client is going to do to reach their goal. And so it's important for us as the practitioner to know what is it that the client is committing to so that we can hold that space of accountability for them, hold that container for them. Amy's saying it's the how of fulfilling a client's goals. Yes. And desires. Yes, absolutely. And aligned with the client. Yes. Helen is saying a clear method, practice, or set of actions that can be implemented to attain a desired goal. Yes, all of these are great. Dawn is saying a framework or map to reference along the path. I love that phrasing, a map to reference along the path, like a guiding light. A strategy sets us on a path to take steps to get somewhere while knowing where we want to end up. Without a detailed map to get there, we can find the way much easier if we know where we're going. Yes. Yeah, these are all great. Okay, good. So a couple other pieces I'm gonna add to round out, and some of this is all also in, I didn't read everything in the chat. Some of these ideas are in those other chats as well. Let's see, what didn't we cover here? Another way you can think of it is a strategy is a way of describing how you're going to produce an outcome. A strategy is a way of using all available aligned resources in order to reach a goal or execute a plan. Strategizing is how the gap is bridged between where a client is and where they want to be. So when we're strategizing with a client, it can run the gamut and usually is a combination of what I'd call pure coaching, asking breakthrough questions, you know, making reflections for a client to find their own ideas for the strategy. But it can also include consulting. Right. It can also include us sharing. This is one of the ways of creating awareness, as we learned, it can also include us sharing our particular expertise. One of the reasons why a client might hire us is because we have a particular experience or expertise in certain types of strategies. We have that information. What we want to remember if we are consulting, along with all the other ways of creating awareness, is number one, always consult based on the who, right? So we're never sharing cookie cutter, for the same exact, with all the same details for everyone to reach a particular goal. And number two, we're using the techniques that we learned in our creating awareness module so that we're not stating this is how you do it as truth, but we're offering it as tosses and ideas to spark for our clients, allowing for their full agency to say, yeah, yes, that is it. That is how I want to do it. Or no, that doesn't feel quite right to me. On our Q&A call on Monday, someone brought up a question and they shared that they're working with a coach. I'm sure this person isn't a Sacred Depths coach because of what was shared on the call. And she shared that her coach said that in order for her to build her business, she absolutely needs to be making more social media videos. That's a great strategy for building business. But the person in the Q&A call who brought the question, that wasn't the right strategy for her, right? So there was a lot of tension and friction there because she was open to trying a little bit more with it, but it wasn't the exact right strategy for her. Okay, so even when we're using our expertise, it is never from a, this is the truth with a capital T and there's no other way here. All right, let me pause on that. Just from our kind of little intro toe dip into this definition, how we use it, any thoughts that are clicking, anything that feels important so far, or any questions on what we covered so far? No? Okay, so we'll continue going. So in a couple minutes, we're going to get to what I call the elements of a good strategy. But before that, I want to toss this out to think about as a, this is kind of related to strategy, but it's almost pre-strategy in a way. New things, right? And a vision is new or it's a renew. New things require a strong foundation. New things require a strong foundation, right? When we build a new house, we can't just build from the ground up, right? We have to dig out the foundation, create a solid foundation for the house first, and then build the house on top of it. Same goes for any vision or goal that a client has. Before we get into this is the first thing and this is the second thing, right? Like whatever it is with the strategy, whether it's a big vision or a small vision, I first like to look at and answer the question with the client, what is the foundation that this project needs? Or this vision needs, or this goal needs? What is the foundation that this needs? For example, in some situations, the foundation first before any action steps can be taken on the goal is going to be about time, is going to be about looking at the client's schedule and seeing how can we create and carve out time for this goal or this vision. Another example, sometimes the foundation that a project might need is support from the client's partner if they have one. Maybe their partner needs to get on board because there's a child care issue or a home care issue, or just because they know they need the support, right? The emotional support of their partner or somebody else in their life. For people with young children, child care in general, right? This happens a lot when I work with entrepreneurs who want to start a business and they still have young children at home, right? A foundational piece first is how can we get some child care for you so that you have not only the time, but the energetic space and wherewithal for this. Sometimes the foundation for a project, let's say a client, I'll talk again specifically about business. A client wants to launch a big program. Part of the foundation that we're going to look at first before launching is, do you have your messaging in place for this, right? Before we start to talk about emails and preview workshops and outreach and all of that, that might be a thing. If a client has a goal or a vision of a romantic relationship, and before we get into strategy, online dating, or this or that or the other thing, maybe part asking what is the foundation that this needs is maybe first there is healthy boundaries that need to be put in place, or time to date and do the dating thing? Or is the client still kind of obsessed with their last romantic partner, right? So then the foundation there is to do some release work. All right, let me pause there. Let me know if that makes sense and what's clicking for you around looking first at what is the foundation that this project needs. I'll give one other example for health practitioners. If a client is going to start with new types of eating habits, maybe a foundation is, do you have time to go shopping? If you don't have time to go shopping, do you know how to do the online shopping for these ingredients, or do you know how to prep food, that kind of thing, right? So what's the foundation? Victoria.
Hi. So I love this, because what it feels like to me, I could be off, but what it does feel like to me is like we're combing through like what does foundation mean? What is a foundation when we say that? How do you articulate that? I'm wondering if I can just throw out there what I captured.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, cool. So if I'm like really reaching into and talking about the foundation of new or renewed things, I'm looking at time, I'm looking at support, I'm looking at messaging, like integrity. So we're checking like if the integrity is intact and present. We're talking about healthy boundaries. We're looking at any needed release work that needs to happen, or any new skills that may need to be acquired.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say that's not exhaustive. I was giving different examples because it might be different for each person and each
one.
But yeah, those are some really good examples of things to look for. So that the client is set up for success in their strategy and they don't jump into action steps without having what they need to be successful in those action steps. So I love how you put skills in there too, right? There might first be a skill that wants to be learned before putting it, you know, the action steps into action. We're looking at what is it that the client needs? What is that foundation that's going to help them be successful in the action?
I feel like there's something there. We're talking really, we're reaching in and talking about energetics.
In a way, yes. Really. I get chills when you just said that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Versus, I don't know. Yeah. The energetics piece for me. Well, let me ask you, when you say we're talking about energetics, what does that mean for you?
It's like this notion of creating strong, deep foundation is the energetics would be it's almost like taking something that's nonverbal, like the energetic of something and helping articulate it. So you're like, literally it's the formation of how to take something from nothing and make it into something.
Yes, absolutely. And this might be like the next piece of what you mean, or it might be separate, but I'll throw it out there. You know, when we look at energetics in coaching, part of what we talk about is the container and having a strong container for the coaching. And when you said energetics on this, what that made me, the association that I have is this is part of creating a strong container for the project.
Mm-hmm. So that anything that happens is in relation to that container.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. It's just showing up as iPhone, but not your name. Whoever iPhone is, go ahead. Who is that?
Is it me? Is it Daily?
It's Daily. Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I just love this topic. And that last share was super helpful for me. And I love that you bring in this piece about what I call clearing the path, which is pretty much, I believe, for my work personally, with the work that I do with my clients, essential to any strategy in order to really clear the space. And it's perfect timing because today I'm meeting with a potential client about doing like a VIP day with her potentially. And so this is just great review and also like ingraining within myself how important this is. And I feel like the clearing the path piece is great for us as practitioners too, because we get to see it's almost like addressing the resistances for head on, you know, being able to say what might come up beforehand that may stop you in your tracks or allow you to like get distracted or take you off course. And like, is there anything we've experienced in the past that may have like kept you from moving forward in this direction in the past? You know, like a lot of times I hear like, I've tried everything before, or, you know, like there's this idea.
Yeah, we looked at that last week in the new beginnings. Absolutely. That's part of setting that foundation of the, okay, what didn't work before? What do you need in place now? Why was it so hard? Yes.
Thank you. So great. Yeah,
thank you. I love that what you're talking about, like the, so often what we learn is like, we already knew it, and it's an opportunity to embody it even more deeply. Danielle.
Hi. So I wanted to ask this because I was like, I'm thinking it, I might as well ask. It feels big to me. It feels very, everything always feels very connected to me. So this question of foundation, I, with my own self or with someone else, could probably come up with like 50 things where it's like, oh yes, this limiting narrative that I have about scarcity, this comparison thing, this stuff that I'm working through about being visible my partner and where he's at with his stuff that he's working on, how we juggle this. Now we look at childcare in a new, it feels like a lot. And I'm just, again, brand new, don't have experience in this. It feels almost like that is quite a bit of work right up front. And in my own, I also wanted to say my own work with a coach, I think I named these things early on and they were a lot to do with limiting beliefs. And maybe that was just what I was drawn to in finding a coach. And so it was like, we've been doing a lot of unearthing. Yeah, I don't know. It just feels like the journey itself for me has been peeling apart these beliefs. I'm like, is this just like pre-strategy or are you talking about this actually being the journey? I'm so new to this. I'm curious.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I'm glad you're asking. And what I'd say is, of course, it's going to be different every time. Always coach the what based on the who. But my experience more often than not is that it's both. So we don't want to, before taking an action step, we can't be so exhaustive and move through every single fear and every single limiting belief and all of that, especially because sometimes they're going to come up more once it's time to take the action. There's more of a clear path before. It's like, oh, I can hang out working on the fears. So we're going to, in terms of limiting beliefs and fears, you know, we might pick just a couple to start working with before, but they're still going to come up along the way for sure. And even things that aren't inner work, like time, setting the schedule, we're going to work on it before, and then it still might come up again, right? During the course of the execution of the plan. But we have this foundation to come back to. Good question. And this reminds me that I keep on wanting to share with all of you a little bit about how I use a first session with a client. So I think now that it reminded me, so I'm just going to briefly share this now because it's helpful. Now, again, this doesn't play out. What I'm about to describe to you in terms of a protocol for a first session is not the only way to lead a first session. It is not the only way that I lead first sessions. But it is a nice thing to have in the back of your pocket that can be a really beautiful way to start. Sometimes when you start, a client is going to come in and they have a pressing issue that they need support with that day. I'm always going to prioritize that first, and then move into this if there's time. It's nice to have a full session for this. This is one of the reasons why the first session I like to be a little bit longer too. But you can think about maybe something like this, taking some time first to define the vision, even if it's not fully defining the vision, but to start to look at some pieces around the vision that you're going to be working on together. From there, and this is part of setting the foundation, I like to work with the client to define a belief that might be in the way of executing the vision or even fully seeing the vision. We do some belief work on that. We'll look at rewiring thought patterns. You can do somatic work, or it can be as simple as just a little bit more of an exploration of that belief and where it came from. Support the client one way or another to define a more helpful belief for the vision, even if they don't believe it yet, right? What is it that you would like to believe as we work together and move towards this vision? by the way, like I was just sharing with Danielle, other limiting beliefs will definitely come up along the way, right? But this is just like the starter foundational piece. And then once we have that newer, more helpful belief, I'll ask the client, so based on all of this, what are one or two, three at most, foundational activities for our time together? And what I explain about that question is, you know, based on everything that we've looked at, is there one thing, two things that you know are going to be really helpful for you to put in place in order to stay consistent with this belief and consistent with your vision, as long as it's aligned? And for some clients, they might say, you know, I have a meditation practice and my commitment is to actually make sure I show up for that meditation practice twice a week. That is a foundational activity that I want to do for this, you know, our work together. Or for another client, it might be ending work at 5 p.m. every day. Or for another client, it might be cutting out gluten. Or for another client, it might be, I want to go out and have fun every Friday night, right? Like, sky's the limit on what it is. But to set, and fewer is usually better than more. I try to keep people on the one, but sometimes people want a little more of like, what is something, you know, based on all of this, that is going to be a beautiful container for you, for your soul, for this new belief as we move forward. All right. So that's not the only way to do a first session. I just offer that as one way to think about it. Any thoughts or questions on that? Okay. Jennifer, and then Kristen, I'm going to get to your question in the chat.
Awesome. Loving all of this. And I love putting the empowered piece into the client's hands. What happens when they say, you know, I have no idea? They have a vision, but they're like, I don't know what would align with me. And then of course, like, that's when we encourage or plant a seed. But what happens when they keep falling off?
As they move forward?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna look at fear. We're gonna look at
okay. That's coming. It's my favorite part. Yeah.
I know. It's like we want all of that now. And I want to give it all to you.
Okay. Cool.
It's a process. We're gonna get to all of that. Yeah. That's the right. That is the meat and the heart. But first we need these foundational pieces. For now, again, I'll just remind you, lean into the blocks.
Lean into the blocks. Exploring the blocks.
Explore them. Yeah. You know, that for now, I'll just say, like, lean into them, explore them, don't make them bad, don't be scared of them.
Mm-hmm.
Lean into them and look. And then we'll get some different techniques on how to do that.
I think with the strategizing, sometimes even like, you know, with action steps at the end of my sessions, it's hard for me to hold back. And I know that sometimes it's better to just give like one small thing, like you mentioned, like a meditation practice, 5-minute meditation practice. That's all you're working on this week, or playing with this week. But sometimes they want like more and more and more. And I am not worried, but I'm like, I don't want them to feel awful when, you know, they're like not doing the HIIT workouts 3 times a week or something like that.
Yeah.
Anything you can speak to that?
Yeah. So that's why it can sometimes be helpful to create an overarching strategy so that your client knows where you're going together. They can see that pathway from where they are now to where they want to be. And then from there, take the strategy piece by piece by piece.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I usually just say like, hey, bonus, if you do the blah, blah, blah.
Right. And then if they want one more thing, you give that. But I do find that, and we even get to strategy in the sales call when we talk about where a client is, where they want to be. I start to outline some of the things I think we would work on together to get them to where they want to go. I'm not coaching it out as much then. That's when we're kind of like coaching out on the strategy, but I do give them, if they want that bigger overarching or explore it, at least parts of it without getting into too much detail. And then it's session by session. What are the next? What are the next? What are the next? Yeah.
Okay. Some food for thought. Thank you.
So Kristen is asking in the chat, what if we or our clients don't know everything needed to lay a good foundation, if we're out of our depth with knowledge about the desired outcome or goal? I love this question. It's such an important one because that will happen sometimes. For sure, that happens when I'm working with clients. And so part of the foundation is finding the resource, finding the information. Sometimes I'll work with a client and they'll want to do, for example, Facebook ads. And from the little that I know about Facebook ads, it might, maybe for that particular client, it seems like a great idea for them, but I'm not a Facebook ads expert. I don't know what's needed either for the foundation or the action steps, right? So part of what we will strategize on is how can they find a good Facebook ads person, or where is a resource they can look and get more information. Kristen, let me know if you have a follow-up to that or if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thank you.
All right, let's keep on going. So let's look at elements of a good strategy, that foundational piece being one of them. Let's keep on going. So the next one we already looked at, is, well, we kind of looked at it, whether or not the vision is uber clear. Sometimes a vision, as we spoke about, we don't need to know all the details on the vision, the bigger vision, in order to move forward. But what we do need is a next clear goal. So for example, again, I'll put it into business terms. Let's say a client has a vision for their business, maybe all the details, maybe not all. The next thing we need is the first goal. Right? Maybe that first goal is bringing on 3 clients. Or maybe that first goal is creating a website that they love, or right, whatever it is. But we want a clear, definable goal on the way to that vision that we can understand most of the details on. Without that first goal, as you can already imagine, well, back to the road trip metaphor that we were looking at with visioning, it's like without that first goal, we don't know what the first stop on the road trip is. And we're just kind of like taking off into the land on the road trip, hoping that we're going to eventually get to where we want to go. Right. So that understanding what that first goal is really important. The next element of a good strategy, and this is not, this next one is, sometimes it, we want to include it, sometimes not, depending on the client and where they're at. and what the goal is. But oftentimes having a date for the goal. I would like to reach or accomplish this goal by August, by December, by, right, whatever it is. The reason I say not always is every now and again, you're going to have a client that it just puts too much pressure on them and stresses them out in a way that, you know, you might at some point come back to exploring what, you know, all the things, but in a way that it actually just makes sense to say sometime next spring or in a year, right? Like whatever it is. And kind of keep on going with this strategy. Another element of a good strategy. Oh, you know what? I'm just going to quick move because it's loud outside the window. All right. This next one is important. A lot of people skip over this one. I find it really helpful to get clear on a guiding feeling for the strategy. It can be also a belief, you know, so whatever makes sense in that moment for the client, what is a guiding belief for the strategy? What is a guiding feeling? How do you want to feel as you execute this strategy? What is it that you want to be believing, right? And of course, in the vision, we've looked at the why. We want to keep on bringing the why in as well. But as far as I'm concerned, the feeling, the guiding feeling is important. Number one, because it's easier to accomplish things if we're connected in to a feeling that we know is going to help us accomplish those things. Our actions are often motivated by our thoughts and how we feel, right? So just like we want to have an aligned belief, we want to name a feeling that a client can plug back into and feel in their bodies. Here's the other reason though, if your client is like me and they're a get it done person and they're just like, they're going to get it done no matter what, then it becomes a question of, are you going to get it done and feel stressed or feel pressure or feel like this is the thing that determines your value, or you know, whatever it is? Or are we gonna kind of like get it done and feel lighthearted or feel spacious or feel confident or feel curious or feel pleasure, right? So it's not just what's that famous saying? It's not just the destination, it's the road, it's the quality of the road to get there. I don't know, I just botched that, but you know what I'm saying? It's not just about reaching the goal. Our time is our lives and we're spending time reaching the goal, right? So how do we want to feel? Before we get to one of the other elements of a good strategy, which is what are the steps or the baby steps? We'll get there in a moment. But before we get to that, I often like to bring spirit level into the strategy. And I'll ask a question like, what does your inner wisdom want you to know about this plan? Sometimes I'll do it before the baby steps, sometimes after, but at some point in there, you know, what is your inner wisdom? What does spirit want you to know about the plan? If someone is connected into their ancestors, it might be what, you know, connect into the ancestors. What do your ancestors want you to know about the plan, right? Whatever it is. And then what are the steps? And if I'm looking at a general long-term strategy, they'll be, you know, we'll look at the bigger steps. But if I'm looking at a shorter strategy, the next goal, I'm usually going to support the client to break it down into baby steps, smaller, doable chunks. Okay, so let me give you a little bit of an example. This is just kind of like a whatever one, but I think it will. Oh, wait, I didn't get through all of the elements. Sorry, I got excited to talk about the example. The last thing is markers for celebration that's built in, right? So, how will you celebrate when you accomplish this? What are you going to do? Etc. As just more motivation. And of course, we're going to be celebrating with them along the way. All right. So let me kind of put this into practical terms. Let's say a client has a goal, right? So this is the goal. The clear goal is they want a clean and organized closet that's color coordinated, right? So that's the goal. We've got a clear goal there, a clean and organized closet. And they want to do this by next Friday, right? Why do they want to do it? Well, if they have a clean and organized closet, the why might be, then they'll wear more of their clothing instead of just the same things that are in front, or they might feel more creative when they get dressed, or it'll help them feel better as they go through their day. Maybe when you ask, how do you want to feel as you create this clean and organized, color coordinated closet, maybe they say, I want to have fun when I do this. I don't want this to be a drudgery or another task, but I want to have fun. I think I'm going to put on fun music. I don't know why Cyndi Lauper just came into it. I'm going to put on Cyndi Lauper while I do this, and it's going to be fun. Okay. Baby steps. I skipped over inner wisdom on this one, but we'll go to baby steps. So maybe the client says, first, I want to go through my shirts and my sweaters and decide what I want to keep and what wants to go and put those into color coordination. And then I want to go through my tank tops and do it with that. And then I'm going to go through my dresses. And then the last piece is I'm going to go to Goodwill and give Goodwill everything that I'm not keeping. Maybe when you looked at what this client needs foundationally in order to do this strategy, right? What's the foundation? We looked at that earlier. Maybe for them, they know they need to finish their email for work before they work on their closet. And also foundationally for them, they want to set an alarm for the closet time to begin so that they don't skip it, right? Or what, you know, that kind of thing. And then in terms of celebrations, maybe the client says, once I'm done, what I want to do to mark this accomplishment is I want to wear a dress that I haven't worn in a while that I found. Because I know I have dresses at the back of my closet that I'm going to find as I do this, right? Or maybe the client says, if I throw out at least 4 sweaters, I'm going to buy myself a new one that I've had my eye on that I really love. All right, let me pause here. Thoughts, ideas, questions on these different elements of a strategy? or other elements that you want to add to this that you have found? Marla.
So I'm a little bit stuck on this feeling. What kind of feeling do you want to have as you do it? And I mean, I'll use an extreme example. I got to dig a ditch. Yeah, I want to feel like, oh, this is a fun thing to do. But you know what? I'm going to be out in the hot sun, busting my balls, feeling uncomfortable, getting grimy. And yeah. I really don't know how to make that feel easy.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you're not going to force that. Such a great question. You're not going to force that. But so then with the circumstances, what is the feeling that possible? Maybe it's not going to be fun, but maybe it's going to be meaningful, right? And I want to connect back in to the idea that this is meaningful because of my why. Or maybe the energy is, okay, can't be fun, but I do want to feel confident as I do this, confident that I can get this done, right? So of course we want to be realistic and not pretend that something is pleasurable or fun or whatever if it's not. Although we could poke some holes into it and, you know, maybe there is a way to make digging a ditch fun. But if not, we want to find then what is possible, what will be inspirational, what can be that guiding light feeling.
Well, I mean, for me, I will use the word dissociation, right? But also just really more looking for the feeling when you're done. I mean, you kind of said that when you're like, if you're a doer person, but I mean, I don't know. I just think there are so many things we do. And somebody said digging it, you know, tap into feelings of being a badass. I mean, seriously, if you've ever dug a ditch, that will only go so far, but there's just other things. So I guess my question is it okay to just kind of skip over that and go take them to the end?
Always coach the what based on the who. If it's not appropriate, then skip over it for sure. But I would recommend checking your filters.
Yeah.
And having at least a short exploration of what is a helpful feeling within the realm of realistic.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That could be really helpful for this person, for the client.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't define what's realistic for them. I mean, I'm just saying,
right. Have them do
some it. People will feel that way, irrespective of what my filter is on that. So, yeah. I mean, I get that piece. So, I guess you could ask, is there a way you can, like, what would be the easiest way for you to get through this?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Yeah. Good. Victoria.
Keep coming back to reminding myself that we're talking about change a lot of the times when it comes to visions and goals and strategizing. And while there could be excitement around that, change could very well be scary to some part of us to some degree. I just wanted to comb back through how you were saying, like, that point you made about getting clear on like a guiding feeling. So with change, I work a lot of the times with my clients on like identifying choice points, like in the process, like there's like an awareness that pops up, like, I'm at a choice point right now. I could feel like this, but then how you mentioned like that guiding feeling or the guiding belief to acknowledge like, I'm at a choice point. This is where that comes into play. I think I wanted to circle back to it because it's an incredibly powerful moment in the process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. To have that guiding feeling, especially because of what you're saying. So a change in status, whether the change is positive or negative, any change in status, even if it's like going to the best thing ever, causes dysregulation, at least momentarily. That is part of the process of a change in status. There's a disruption, right? So it creates a dysregulation. And of course, the container that we hold for clients is so important in this and the co-regulation, but that guiding feeling, that guiding energy is part of supporting the regulation and the change as well.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah, thank
you. The resourcing. Yeah, thank you for coming back through that.
Yeah, I'm glad you're using that word resourcing. It's so appropriate here, right? Having a guiding feeling and a guiding belief helps us resource in the moment. Oh my gosh, writing this newsletter is really freaking hard. I don't like how I write. It's been going on forever. Can I take a pause and come back to my guiding feeling? Can I feel that feeling in my body to reset in this moment, to resource from that place and then move forward? Good. Jen.
I love that. I have a piece in my practice with that, identifying choice points. I know, I think it's Marianne Williamson calls it the holy instant. I like to call it the divine catalyst, but I loved that piece that Victoria just brought to the table. Resourcing, so good. Mine again has to do with strategy with the coach. I often, when I'm doing these sessions, I feel like, gosh, I wish I had like a full day with them. And I know that's like great opportunity for a VIP day. But do you have anything to say about pacing or you know, I understand it's too, it's like getting out of scarcity mentality or something like that. Like we'll have another session.
Right. I think some of it, yes. And then some of it are, what are the, like, what logistics of your program and what's going to serve. So for example, when I work with clients on their businesses, I do include a half day or a full day up front. It might not necessarily be our first session, but it's within the first couple weeks or month, because we are figuring out that overarching strategy first. And it takes time to roll up our sleeves and look at, okay, you want to launch a program in a year. What are all of the pieces? And then we're still always strategizing every session based on progress and what comes up and all the pieces. I'm not saying everybody needs to do that, by the way, in their programming. But I do find it helpful. It depends on what you're helping clients with, but for some things it is helpful to have, if not even a half day, a 2 hour first session or a 2.5 hour first session to kind of, or within the first month, like I said, to kind of get some of those pieces out without, mm-hmm. like you're saying, fearing that, oh my gosh, and we're not going to have enough time, you know, and just knowing mm-hmm. it's both. It can be both. And.
Can I ask a business question?
I want to make sure I get through everything else around strategizing. And I do have today, I have a call at 2 exactly that I have to get to, but ask it in the Facebook group or, you know, I will answer it for you, but just not today.
Cool.
Amy.
Yeah, I have a reflection on the celebration piece that's feeling really important for me and really resonating. I've had conversations this week about, I see this in myself also with clients, as we were sharing about how a celebration can either be realized really at the end of something and sometimes really be skipped over. Like I remember, like I forget to either thank myself or bring in that gratitude, and or maybe just saying it to myself on the mental and the verbal. And I remember a client of mine dropping something in the middle of like, ooh, and I did this. And I went, hang on a minute, can we pause here? Because let's hold the space and have the celebration. Like as we were layering and going through the sort of the different levels and when celebrations can come in, and sort of it gets brushed over. And I felt that that was really nice to bring it in. And in the midst, sometimes like the smaller scale of, this week or in the last 2 weeks, this has happened, and like, yay. And then also I can see where I can bring encouragement in for myself and clients to say, maybe this encouragement of, so what would you like to do to really celebrate, rather than bring it out of the verbal into the physical. And, you know, because it's that moment where I can feel that appreciation of like, yes, I've done a good job, or you've done a good job, but actually what more could you do with that? So I really like that invitation of kind of raising the celebration a bit.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're underscoring it. It's so true. Like we looked at in our celebrations module, we want to be doing it all along the way and baking it into a strategy. Even from the get-go, can also be motivational. It can create excitement. It can create more desire and like, I'm doing something right. And I highly recommend, don't just celebrate when the goal is achieved, but what are some of the markers along the way? Good. Okay. There's one other piece that I want to really make sure we get to today. And this is about natural rhythms. And it's part of coaching the what based on the who. Every one of us has a different, what I would call natural rhythm or internal pace. And when we create a strategy, either an overarching strategy or week by week, we want to think about what is our client's natural rhythm or internal pace and match the action steps to that. If not, there will be a lot of heartache and frustration, I promise you. So I just share, there's lots of different types of internal natural rhythms, internal paces, but I just want to share some of the most common that I've encountered. So one type of natural rhythm is what I call consistent doers. They're like marathoners. This kind of person, the way they get things done is they'd like to do a small amount every day or every week. I am very much in, I am a hybrid, but I am very much a marathoner in a lot of ways. So when I was in college and grad school, if I had a test to study for, I would say, okay, I know there's 10 chapters that are on the test. I'm going to study 2 chapters a week until I get to the final. And I would know each, right? That's like consistent marathoning. Another type of natural rhythm or internal pacing are sprinters. These are people that like to do, and then need a bigger break, kind of like a sprint race, right? They can go versus the marathon of like the slow pace, but then they've done a lot for a week or 2 weeks, and then they need to lay on the couch and do nothing, right? No one of these natural rhythms is better than another. When you can support a client to help them identify what their natural rhythm is and accept it and love it and see it as a resource and leverage it, so much more is possible. I'll just share 2 others. Again, you know, this is not an exhaustive list, but just ways to think about things. I have some clients that are what I call tipping pointers. These are people who they need to think about it and marinate it, not take action, right? Like we might talk about the same actions and ideas for 2 or 3 sessions, and I know they're not going to take actions, but then once it's fully marinated, once they've like really kind of let it seep into their being, then the point, there's a tipping point, and then they can start taking action. They might be a marathoner or a sprinter at that point. Nothing wrong with that, right? And then related, but you know, a little different. I also know a lot of what I call deep thinkers and processors. These people are usually marathoners, except that they're even slower. It's like their tipping pointer marathon where something that might take someone else 1 week or one session and then they do it, they need two sessions and then to do it, and then another two sessions and then to do it, or 2 weeks or right, whatever it is. Again, nothing wrong with that, but it's good to really celebrate, to identify, to celebrate what that rhythm is, and then to set the strategy up according to that. So let me ask you, it might be one of the things I mentioned or something else, but what is your natural rhythm usually? Right, and it's not, there's never, you know, it's never an all or nothing thing. I'm mostly a marathoner, but then sometimes I'm a sprinter and I'll just like for a whole weekend, I'm writing, right? And then I'm done. But generally, what is your natural rhythm? What really works best for you? Lara's a sprinter. Victoria saying there's a dysregulated pace and a regulated pace. Yes, learning to differentiate. Yes. Nisha's a tipping pointer combined with a consistent doer. Gold is a marathoner. Got some more tipping pointers, some hybrids. That's such great information, Kristen, that ADHD people are typically sprinters, and especially like if that's your ideal client, so good to go in, because sometimes we might need to also do a little creating awareness and we might have certain piece of information that could be applicable for clients. Yeah, it depends on the task, Marla's saying. Katie's saying, what if you thrive on procrastination? Well, if you're procrastinating and then getting things done, you might be a tipping pointer. If you're procrastinating and then procrastinating and procrastinating and not, we'll take a look at fears and beliefs and resistance for that. All right. Here's another question on this. How have you maybe gotten into trouble in the past or moved into some heartache or frustration because of not knowing or honoring your natural rhythm? I mean, I have, I still do, I teach it and I still fall into it sometimes. Right, so we really want to pay attention to this with clients. A couple of just last little pointers. Don't get too attached to a specific strategy. Understand that sometimes strategies need to change. That's fine. I change my strategies a lot, right? But not because we're going after the next shiny new thing or because the other strategy was too hard, right? Not that, but sometimes legit, they need to change. As we keep on saying today, always strategize the what based on the who. In general, simpler strategies are better than complicated strategies. I always look to how can we simplify this? What are the steps that actually need to be taken? What are the steps that can be thrown out? And then I, in general, at the end of every session, as Jen was mentioning, for me, a coaching session is leading to some kind of next action steps or strategy, right? Before takeaways. Sometimes we'll start with the strategy, you know, and then, but we're always, every session, we're looking for action steps or one action step to come out of it. Okay. So before we wrap for today, and I am gonna, just because I have something I have to get to, I'm gonna cut it a minute short today, but we still have a couple moments. What are you taking away from our time together today? What are you excited about? Oh, if you're working with a partner, you'll see it in your member center. If you're working with a partner, move the vision that you've been working on along. Take a session and use the different elements we looked at today, and strategize together. So what are you taking, and what questions do you have before we wrap for today? Sharon.
Yeah, I guess it's not so much a question as a noticing what's coming up. I love strategy. It kind of fits into all of that masculine part. And it's like, oh, finally, I know something I can do. And it's catching that and then noticing my filter and really noticing the difference for me of having been in a business environment where I was contract procurement manager. This is what we do. This is how we do. And then having that, one of the things that I brought to that environment was the softness and the people and the human part.
Yes.
And kind of, and I can feel myself going, oh yay, this is the exciting part. It's like, okay, ease down, tiger. This is where I can trip myself up. And then all of my filters start to come in and my time scales. And so it's been really useful to kind of see the bubbles of excitement and then also, and not have them deflated, but to really acknowledge in myself how far I've grown in that. So I want to kind of acknowledge that firstly. And secondly, for me, it's been really good. And Amy and I did talk about celebrations at the beginning of the week. I've got an accountability buddy, and we sat down in April and set out what we're going to do. And this weekend we were like, do you know what? We've done so much. It hasn't actually followed exactly what we were going to do. So we're going out for a meal next week. We're going to take the evening to just go and chill and hang out and very informally talk through how amazing the last 4 months have been, as well as all the little niggles that we moan about. So it feels like it's kind of, yeah, stuff that's going on in my life seems to be very aligned with what's come up in this call today. So
yeah, it sounds like so much mirroring. I love that you're acknowledging yourself and your growth. And I love that you and your accountability partner, it's like you intuitively knew to build in that celebration marker that we were talking about. I love that you did that. And it's good too sometimes to disrupt a pace, right? If it's accountability, and work, right? It's good to kind of have not just a pause and a rest, yes, but also to disrupt the pace sometimes a little bit and then start again.
Yeah. And I think for me, having worked for way too many years in that kind of very rigid professional environment, one of the key things for success of all of the strategies were having either the choice points or the checking in points and the permission to change at any point, rather than getting caught up with the attachment of, well, no, this is what we said we were going to do in week one. It's like, actually the playing field's changed now. This isn't the same project that we started.
That's right.
And for me, installing that permission from the beginning of that balance of, this isn't a procrastination get out clause. However, we also need to be realistic in that we're not going for the full achievement, and you only succeed if we do it this way. So, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. The not being attached to the strategy and being willing to shift it as need be. I'm going to let that be the last word for today. Marla and Jen, I know your hands are raised, but let me know in the Facebook group, or we'll catch up next time. I hope you all enjoy strategizing. I can't wait to hear what comes of it, and I'll see you really soon. Bye.